Turn with me, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. I was talking to a brother about something this week. Something glorious concerning the gospel and concerning Christ our Savior. And while we were talking about it, I thought, I want to bring a message on that Sunday. And that happens quite often. Somebody will say something and it makes me want to go search the scriptures for it. And I feel led to bring a message on it. And so that's what happened. We got off of that phone call and I was thinking, I would love to bring a message on. That's just glorious. And I had just been studying for the Bible study. And I read the next verse and I said, well, there it is. That's exactly what that verse is talking about. So let's read four verses right here. And as we read this, ask the Lord to open your eyes, ears, and heart to this. Ask the Lord to give you a rest in Christ because of what he said right here. Verse 17, Matthew 5, verse 17, our Lord said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, here is the truth of what he just said. He said, I did not come to destroy the law. You know, you hear about law and grace, right? Well, that's law and this is grace. He said, I did not come to destroy the law. He said, not one dot of the I or one cross of the T will be excused from the law. Every speck of it must be fulfilled. And you think about, we have a law. We have laws in these lands. They concern us. There's laws on various things, but there's a speed limit posted out there concerning me. That speed limit is talking to me, talking to you. It says, yes, this applies to you. Well, the Lord said, every speck of the law concerning you must be fulfilled in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He said, whoever breaks the holy law of God, I mean one law, whoever sins against the holy commandments of God is going to be dealt with. And he said, your righteousness, your perfection, your goodness and your deeds and all of your worthiness, he said, it had better exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. The scribes were the ones who transcribed copies of the law because they would deteriorate. And so they were constantly, they were like before printing presses, transcribing. They were in the Bible business. And the Pharisees were the ones who saw themselves to be righteous before other men and before God. And he said, your righteousness had better exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, or you will not go into heaven. Because they're not going into heaven. Not on their own righteousness. Now, that's pretty strict, isn't it? But do you know that's so? That's God saying that. And what he said right there is absolutely so. How perfect does a person have to be to enter into heaven? As perfect as God himself. You think about that. Every soul there is as perfect as God himself. That's an awesome thought. We can't just be better than we used to be. That's not who heaven is filled with, those who are better than they used to be. And think about this. We must be perfect. That does not mean perfect from this moment on. That means perfect in the past too, perfect up to this moment. We must be perfect. Perfect. We must be perfect. We must be spotless. The law says that the wages of sin is death. And if sin has ever been committed in a person's life, it's death for that person. That's what the law says. The law says if you do this, you'll live. If you do that, you'll die. So here's the absolute truth. God is holding a record of everything that we're doing. Everything we're doing. God is keeping a record of everything that we are doing. Every word we say, every thought we think, everything we do. God is literally putting it on record. And that's terrible. That's just terrible. When the judgment comes, every I is going to be dotted. Every T is going to be crossed. In sentencing to us what the law says we deserve. Go before a judge. What's the sentence? Well, what does the law say? There you go. Now, I'll go ahead and tell us that, you know, if we just heard the Bible study, we can already breathe a little sigh of relief. But just based on the facts at hand right now, what we are and what we deserve is not good. It is not good. Now, let's let the Word of God tell us what we are and what we deserve based on our flesh, based on everything we are in the flesh. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Romans 7. This is the Apostle Paul describing himself. And I'll go ahead and confess to you that he is describing me. And really, every person here ought to confess to himself or herself that he's describing you. Because this is all men and women by nature in the flesh before God. Verse 1, Romans 7, verse 1, he said, know ye not, brethren, For I speak to them that know the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And he illustrates that by saying, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. And same thing goes for a man. A man is bound to his wife by the law as long as she lives. But if the husband be dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. The law strikes fear into people, doesn't it? The law makes you go, ugh. That's just one. You want to keep reading laws? You want to go to other things that we've broken? You know, a person never gets married, or a person gets married and gets divorced, or a person who knows what. You know what our Lord said in Matthew 5? We're about to get to it. He said, if you look on another woman, you've committed adultery. Every person here falls into every single category in the law. Verse 7 right here, he said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Because every time we hear it, we go, oh, is the law bad? He said, God forbid. No, I had not known sin but by the law. I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. I would have never known that unless the law had told me that. And that's just so. It's not until the law comes to us that we're convicted of our sin. We don't realize what we are until the law, that bondage of the law, comes to us. It's the law that reveals to all of us, I'm a sinner before God. I'm a sinner before God. Well, can't I sweep that under the rug? Nope, I'm a sinner before God. Verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Now he gets to the heart of it right here, verse 14. He said, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. I don't know. And can't we all enter into this? I just don't know. He said in verse 15, for what I would, what I wish I would be and what I wish I would do. This is, you know, Paul is a saved man here. And this is the new man of Christ in him speaking. That old man doesn't want to do right. That old man loves darkness and sin. But that new man, there's a war going on, he's about to say. And that new man is saying, I want to be like Christ. But he said in verse 15, what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that's what I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it's good. What he's saying is, I look at me, and then I look at the law, and this is what I say. I'm wicked, and that's good. Verse 17, now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that's dwelling in me. That's what the new man can say. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and he sinneth not. But that old flesh and that old man is still there. Verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I just cannot stop sinning. And this is the Apostle Paul saying this. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that's what I do. Verse 20. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am. He said, the law has clearly revealed to me that I am a sinner against it. And being a sinner against it, I see the punishment that I am owed, and I see the death that I deserve. I see it. But this is what he said in verse 24. He said, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? That's the conclusion he came to. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And I'll tell you, the answer to that question is the gospel. And it's the declaration that our Lord made in Matthew 5. The Lord was declaring the gospel to his people. Now go with me back to Matthew 5 and listen to this glorious announcement. Verse 17. He said, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That just made my heart rise up a couple of inches. I didn't come to destroy it. I came to fulfill it. Do we realize what that means, honestly? This is what our Lord was saying, and this is the heart of the message. This is the glory of the gospel. For God's chosen people, everything that God requires, God provides. Everything in this law, this is so amazing to me, because I used to hear about election and particular redemption and all these things and think, well, how do God's people get away with it? If we all come from the same lump and we're all sinners, why do they have to pay for their sins and we don't? We do. Why do they have to suffer for their sins and we don't have to suffer for our sins? Oh, but we do. That law, everything that that law requires from us must be met. Not one dot of the I, cross of the T. But here's the glory of the gospel. For God's people, everything that God has required of them, God has provided for them. God has a particular people that he has chosen to show mercy to. And I was going to run us off on a tangent to show election. Suffice it to say, in Matthew 5, it says he saw the multitude and he departed up away from them and his disciples came to them and he said this to them. God has a particular people. God has a chosen people that he chose to not leave alone. And not let them continue to rebel against him. He chose a people to say, stop. People who are just running as hard as they can into hell. He chose a people to go, nope. You're not going to do it. And for his chosen people, he's chosen to show mercy to those people. And he's chosen to show grace to those people. And he has done it in this way. Everything that he has required of them, he has provided for them. That is the beauty and the glory of the gospel. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 24. You want to read a wonderful verse? Here it is. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 24. It says, "Faithful is he that calleth you." Who also will do it? That's glorious. That is glorious. Faithful is he that calleth you. Who also will do it? All of mankind was condemned in sin by the holy law of God. But God chose a people to save. And even though they were condemned by the law, just like everybody else, God provided a remedy for them, and he provided a fulfillment for them. In love and in grace and in mercy, God provided to them everything he required of them. God's people cannot satisfy the holy law of God. Start turning the pages. Broken, 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 broken. Can't do it, cannot do it, cannot do it. So Christ said, "I'll go do it for them." Why was he here 33 and a half years? Why didn't he just come one day? Just die, go home? Why was he here that long? What was he doing? He was living for his people. He was loving for his people. He was being kind for his people. He went about doing good. He was helping. He was healing. Christ said, "I'll go do it. Everything, I'll take care of it. Every penalty, every punishment, every perfection," he said, "I'll do it for them. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Now, here's the glory of the gospel. I'm going to just keep repeating it. I'm going to say it over and over again. Everything that God has required, if we want to get our minds around it and our hearts around it, what is it? What is the gospel? Here it is. Here's the great news. Everything that God has required of his people, Christ has provided. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. It says, "But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." Made unto us. He's made unto us. What that means is everything we need to know, he knows it for us. And everything that we need to do, he has done it for us. And everything that we need to be, he is that for us. And everything that we need to pay, he has paid it for us. He paid it all. All the debt we owed, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Now, when it comes to what I need to know about God and about religion and salvation, everything, Christ is the only answer there is. Solomon said, of the making of many books, there's no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. He said, here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Our Heavenly Father said, worship Christ. Hear Him. You want to get to the heart of it? Hear Him. Paul told Timothy, he said, men are ever learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Why? They're missing Christ. They're missing Christ. All the wisdom a person needs to know. Paul said, I studied under Gamaliel. And he said, I learned all about the Jews' religion. I learned all about the doctrine. I learned all about the theology. He said, now I throw it all away. I count it all dung that I might know Him. I need to know Christ. He's my knowledge. He's my wisdom. He is that for us. When it comes to righteousness and sanctification, which is perfection, that's what both of those things are. Perfect holiness. People talk about holiness and righteousness and sanctification. It's perfection in deed and in being. Righteousness is perfection without in deeds. Sanctification is perfection within in being. It's purity without, purity within. And when it comes to all of our perfection, without and within, when we read in this holy book what the law says we must do and be, and fear overtakes us because we know we've sinned against it. We have an understanding of our sin against it, and we realize that in our wicked flesh, we're never going to be able to do what this says we need to do. And we're never going to be what this says we need to be. The glory and the beauty of the gospel cries, Christ has done that for you, and Christ is that for you. He is our righteousness before God. And He is our spotless sanctification before God. He is our perfection. He is our purity. I've told you this so many times, but I'm going to tell you again. Years ago, many years ago, I was preaching for a dear group of believers in another location. And they were brought up on an understanding of Calvinism, but they'd never seen Christ. And they had lived a life of hearing the bondage of the law, the bondage of the law, bondage of the law. How can you know if you're one of His own? Well, do you see holiness in your body? Do you see perfection in your being? That's bondage. And I was talking to one young man about they had started seeing these things, and the Lord had crossed their paths with the truth of the Word. And we were talking about Christ being our sanctification, Christ being our holiness, Christ being all the purity that we need before God. When God looks for purity in me, the only place He looks is in His Son. Let me look at Gabe Stoniker's purity. Well, there Christ is. All right? And He's everything. Just look to Him. Turn to Him. That young man was listening to that, and he said, isn't that so relaxing? I said, it is, brother. Yes, it is. Oh, that is so relaxing. You mean I can quit trying to be what I'll never be and... You mean just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee? Faithful are you who has called me, who also will do it. O Lamb of God, I come. So relaxing. That's what every page in this book says. Just read Ephesians 1. Read Philippians 2. Read Galatians 3. Stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ has set you free. every book, every chapter, every verse in this Bible, all of it speaks of Him being the perfect, spotless substitute for His people. And I was going to have you turn to Romans 10, but I'm not going to. I've been running too long lately, so I'm going to cut it off. But it says, the Apostle Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." I want men and women to be saved so badly. And he's the one who said over and over and over again, God chose an elect. They're all elect before the foundation of the world. He said, but here's where my heart is breaking for people. They're ignorant of God's righteousness. They've never heard about God's righteousness. And they're going about to establish their own righteousness, not submitting themselves to the righteousness of Christ. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. When you want to know, have we done it all? Have we ticked every box? Here's all that has to happen. Put Christ, period, done. He's the end of the law for righteousness. All a person needs. He's our perfection. When the law says, you had better do this, don't look to yourself to do it. Look to Christ to do it. He's our righteousness. When the law says you had better be this, don't look to yourself to be it. Look to Christ to be it for you. He's our sanctification. Our Lord said, "You come unto me, all ye that are labored over your sin and heavy laden because of your sin, and I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. You come to me and you can stop trying to perform your own imperfect works of the law, imperfect works of the law. And you can rest in my perfect works of the law." So Christ is our wisdom, Christ is our righteousness, Christ is our sanctification, and Christ is our redemption. Christ is our blood sacrifice payment to God for all the sin that we committed against Him. He is that redemption for us. And I was going to go to Genesis 22, but we're not. Our brother read it for us a moment ago. God told Abraham, "You take your son, your only son, up to Mount Moriah and you slay him." That was the command of the law. So Abraham did it. And as he's taken Isaac, he told his men, "You stay here." And as they're going up, Isaac said, "Father, I see the wood and I see the fire, but where's the lamb?" And this is what he said. He said, "Son," here's the gospel. He said, "God will provide Himself a lamb for a sacrifice." And that means two things. It means God will take care of it. God will provide the lamb. And it means God will provide Himself to be the lamb. And when they got up there, the law had Isaac right there on the altar. And the knife was about to go in. And God said, "Abraham, Abraham, I've provided a ram." And I don't believe there was a moment in time for Isaac to get off that altar. I believe Abraham laid hold of that ram and threw him on top of his son and plunged that knife in there, and the blood ran all over Isaac and all over that altar. And Abraham said, "I'm going to call the name of this place Jehovah Jireh." And here's the reason why. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. To God be the glory for all the great things that He's done. Everything He has required of us, He's provided. All right, Brother Eddie, you come.